help us to commence with hymn 728. Strange and mysterious is my life, what opposites I feel within, a stable peace, a constant strife, the rule of grace, the power of sin. Too often I am captive led, yet often triumph in my head. 728.
Thank you. Let us read together from the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 13, a few verses 11 to verse 17, and a few verses in John 12. Luke 13, verse 11. Behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years, and was bowed together, and could in no wise lift up herself. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him, and said unto her, Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight, and glorified God. And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation, because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day, and said unto the people, There are 6 days in which men ought to work. In them therefore come and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day. The Lord then answered him and said, Thou hypocrite, doth not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his ass from the stall, and lead him away to water him? And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound, lo, these 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day? And when he had said these things, all his adversaries were ashamed, and all the people rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him. We turn to John chapter 12. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief, and had the bag, and bare what was put therein. Then said Jesus, Let her alone. Against the day of my burying has she kept this. For the poor always ye have with you, but me ye have not always. Much people of the Jews therefore knew that he was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the dead. But the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death. Because that by reason of him, many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. On the next day, much people that were come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him and cried, Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. And Jesus, when he had found a young ass, sat thereon, as it is written, Fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh, sitting on an ass's colt. These things understood not his disciples at the first, but when Jesus was glorified, then remembered they that these things were written of him, and that they had done these things unto him. The people therefore that was with him, when he called Lazarus out of his grave, and raised him from the dead, bear record. For this cause the people also met him, for that they had heard that he had done this miracle. The Pharisees therefore said among themselves, Perceive ye how ye prevail nothing? Behold, the world is gone after him. And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. Philip cometh and telleth Andrew, and again Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. And Jesus answered them, saying, The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honour. And we leave the reading there. Amen. Almighty and most gracious Lord, how we need thy grace. We desire, Lord, that nothing but thy grace may be our plea, immortal grace, grace freely given, grace for grace. And Lord, we have nothing, but we come unto thee, and truly thou art a God that is gracious, and we do plead that thou wilt remember us just as we are, that leave us not as we are. We come, O Lord, just as dead, inert, and utterly undone as ever in ourselves, but we plead thy rich mercy, and we seek again to plead that worthy name whenever we attempt to come to the throne of grace. And Lord, remember us this evening. Are we not subject, Lord, to many infirmities, the trifles of the day? One has said almost carry us away. That, Lord, there are things that are so empty. And yet we have indeed much to do with the things of this world, but we would come for the substance. We want reality. Want thee, Lord, to help us to leave all things here below, at the foot of the mount, that we want to given grace, Lord, to look higher. We need thee, Lord, to help us, help our unbelief, and grant, O Lord, that we may be amongst thy people. O Lord, that turn aside like Moses to see, and the bush was not burnt, and that we believe that thou wilt preserve and keep and bless thy people. Lord, to grant to each one of us, Lord, a living portion in a dying world. Grant us something, Lord, for our souls the world cannot begin to give. May we be amongst those that desire that better part. No, Lord, we are not one whit better than the most far off and the most wretched, and yet, Lord, we come and plead the merits of the Lord Jesus. Lord, do forgive all sin and unworthiness. Lord, remember us each, we pray, and those in our hearts. Lord, remember, we humbly and graciously we hope, pray, that thou wilt touch hearts and bring back prodigals. And Lord, that thou wilt hear in heaven thy dwelling place. And Lord, to grant that we may have evidences that our poor prayers are heard. And Lord, we would count it a blessing. Lord, if there should be one and another that have to return, no, Lord, we feelingly seek that thou wouldst remember each case and each need. We pray that thou wouldst remember loved ones, watch over them and keep them. Oh, we bless thee, Lord, for thy divine goodness. Lord, what hath God wrought, we believe, that do grant a continuation of thy great goodness. Lord, it touches our heart. We pray for others. Lord, remember the sick and the afflicted. Remember those unable to be in thy house. Remember, Lord, each case and each need known to thee. The dear little ones at home, the children and the young people with us. And remember, we humbly pray, Lord, the assemblies of thy people, and do grant a sweet going in the tops of the mulberry trees. There may be, Lord, yet a demonstration of the Spirit and of power. And grant, O Lord, that thou wilt crown thy gospel with thy success. We pray, Lord, for any that may feel low, and do grant a lifting up. For those, Lord, that crave a token for good. For those, Lord, that come, we know not, that there may be. For those, Lord, that almost feel unable to continue. And do, Lord, remember each case and each need. Remember Zion still. Lord, we often feel burdened, we hope we do, that thou wilt remember Zion in these dark, dark days, but it's the true light we want. Lord, the days are marked with the withdrawing of the Holy Spirit. Return, sweet messenger of rest. Lord, do come with thy gospel. And Lord, do grant the sweetness of it and the power of it. And crown thy gospel with that sweetness and power. And Lord, we long to feel it. And we often soon lose any sweetness. Remember each and every one that would humbly ask, Lord, for that token for good. And remember us, Lord, in every burden and care, and those that have burdens and cares, they're all known to thee. Oh Lord, we sometimes feel our wisdom is swallowed up, but then may we have Christ as our wisdom. Thy wisdom dwell with prudence. We pray, Lord, that thou wouldst remember this little service. And O Lord, to be mindful of us. May we all see no man save Jesus only. And grant, O Lord, we want deliverance from the power of sin, the dominion of it, the plague and the curse of it. Lord, we are often overtaken by unbelief. Do grant a Saviour's love. And O Lord, do grant the liberty of thy Spirit. And do, Lord, help us to thank thee for every mercy, for thy divine goodness hitherto hath the Lord helped us. Lord, we have much to thank thee for, but we seem to need thee more and more. Lord, do grant, we pray, that thou come our prayers, our poor. We seek the Lord Jesus, may himself put his merits to those poor petitions. Lord, that they might be presented in the Saviour's name. Oh, and that thou, Lord, wilt undertake for us like Hezekiah. And grant, O Lord, that thou wilt help us now as poor we are. And Lord, we have many, many thoughts. And we want to be right. And Lord, after all that's said or done, we need thee to make us right, to keep us right, and bring us right. Prepare us well. Lord, do grant that the root of the matter may be in us. And do grant, O Lord, some renewing. Remember, Lord, other nations we seek to pray for, that the relief may be granted, but grant the light of the gospel. Remember our fellow creatures, and do grant thy words may enter into many hearts. Lord, do help us to fall at Jesus' feet. Lord, and do grant some sweet tokens. Lord, that we labour not in vain, nor spend our strength for naught. For all that we bring before thee, thy gracious help. And, O Lord, abundantly forgive all that amiss and everything that's wrong in our hearts as we pray words. And Lord, do grant to us the purging sacrifice of Jesus Christ, that our prayers may be sweetly influenced by the sweet merits of Jesus, and it may be well with us. We want real things, and yet, Lord, we are poor and needy sinners. We ask for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Hymn number 1092. Till God the sinner's mind illume, 'tis dark as night within, like Lazarus in the dreary tomb, bound hand and foot by sin. 1092.
Lord may help me. I will turn with you to the Gospel according to John chapter 12, reading again verse 21. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. Especially the last part of the verse, John 12, verse 21, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. I think the most important part of this word is contained in this one word, Jesus. But the words in our text belong to the family of God. The family of God are quickened into life. They're not born with these desires. They're dead to God, and they ever would be but for immortal grace. The words in our text belong to those that by God's own grace truly and in the solemn reality of an all-seeing and heart-searching God that would humbly say the same and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. Remember many years ago, very concerned, and one of those seekers, I hope, that desired him, a good man, he said, well, these words could belong to those that just were inquisitive or just carnally would see him, and my poor heart sunk. I thought, am I just one of those that would just know something and yet not all of the truth of these words? And my heart, well, I hope it was tender, the fear of God. And it broke me down. I really did desire to be found amongst one of these. One of these, like these Greeks, that say, Sir, we would see Jesus. And I believe in my poor understanding that the Lord had some of these Gentiles that truly and rightly came up to worship at the feast, strangers and pilgrims, not like unto God's people, but yet sweetly drawn, brought to come among God's people with a who can tell if there might be a portion for the outsiders. Do we not read? I just think of it as we speak. That's in that first chapter of Corinthians, the Jews, unto them which are called both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God, that we read of Christ. Unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness, but not to these. I humbly believe. That word knows something of their portion, their inheritance in Christ Jesus. That word have to come and must seek, that there might be some portion. I wonder if there's any like that here tonight. That from the fullness of their hearts, the Lord knows how we even seek unto Him, that this might be the portion of their never dying souls to see Jesus. The Lord knows our hearts. And again I think of the truth, we're not born with even one of these desires, no. No. And as a child must learn the things of this life, so much more must a child of God be instructed, taught, and led into the truth by the Spirit of God. That there is nothing religious really in man, or anything of a right religion, unless God puts it there. We may have many things which belong to us, but friends, the utter truth of it is this. This is the all in all. That Jesus might be the desire of the heart. And so everyone born of God will have desires. I utterly believe it. But only when God the Spirit begins to work. Those feeble desires, those wishes so weak, 'tis Jesus inspires and bids thee still seek. But these seekers are known to God. Indeed, I've said recently that God is near to seekers as He grants the grace of God in their hearts to be looking unto Jesus. But what lays upon my mind really in these words are those things that we would see in this glorious name, the name of the Lord Jesus, and desired Him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. And then very briefly, I want to notice the setting of these words that the Lord knew these, that came unto Him because although Philip cometh and telleth Andrew, and again Andrew and Philip tell Jesus, Jesus answered them, saying, the hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. And then He speaks to seekers, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone, but if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. So, friends, we must also know the truth of it. In other words, to be properly dead in a experimental and gracious way until Jesus is all in all. And we cannot know Him unless we're truly dead. And you're dead in your life is hid with Christ in God. And so those that are quickened by God's Spirit, oh, they feel it. So dead. So inert. And so much in need of God to help them to pray. That they need the Lord to grant them true living prayer. And they cannot commend themselves in their prayers. That they have to come just as they are. Oh, the death. But the feeling sense of their far offness. And a sense, really it's a desolation, isn't it? How barren. One has said, Lord, how barren is my soul today. Now these truths belong, I believe, in the setting of our text. The Lord Jesus speaks of himself, the Son of Man, and then he speaks of the way of the Son of Man. That those that are truly buried with him, or brought to that place where they're properly laid, in that place where it is right for them to be, prostrate, and in that place where they dare not lift up their head, but humbly say with these Greeks, Sir, we would see Jesus. No, a solemn thought in my mind as we came up, those that preach the gospel, that they have to understand this, that there are those that say, Sir, we would see Jesus. Not anything. Even experience has to be tempered. Everything that must come to this point. Sir, we would see Jesus. And what applies to the Lord's servants? No, these are the hearers that desire something and say, Sir, we would see Jesus. And those that humbly come up, I believe rightly at the throne of grace, they say, Lord, there's a poor man, but may bring something. Sir, we would see Jesus. And Jesus only. Well, the Lord grant the truth of it. We need a single eye. We need a heart undivided. Sir, we would see Jesus. Now I haven't thought to dwell here long, but very, very briefly, if we would see Jesus, we'll honour his house. We will come in that spirit that adores a humble heart. And we will seek that the Lord may lift us up. But we shall seek to be in our right place. And I want to come a little as the Lord may help me. Desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. Now, I believe it's right to say these Greeks, they couldn't unless they were brought into his presence. They said, Sir, we would see Jesus. There was indeed that desire that entrance, access, a place might be afforded them. And they would wait until they would be brought with the we may say the hand of God going before them to come rightly unto him. And so it is in the heart of the Lord's people. Often they say we would see Jesus. And there's a beautiful psalm. Psalm 119. I'm ever so fond of that psalm. The sweet desires of it are in the same language. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. And those verses that speak of the desires and the willingness to hear. But it is as if the psalmist there, he needs the Lord to do it all. With my whole heart have I sought thee, but let me not wander from thy command. Those verses in that psalm belong to seekers. My soul cleaveth unto the dust, quicken thou me according to thy word, make me to understand the way of thy precepts. So shall I talk of thy wondrous works. And then what seems to be upon my mind this evening as we have read one particular part, the Word of God, where we might trace, I believe, something of the desire in this text. It stands out to me. In that beautiful part, I don't know why, I must mention it especially. There was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity. A spirit of infirmity. 18 years and was bound together and could in no wise lift up herself. And when Jesus saw her, it's a beautiful part, isn't it? He called the woman and said, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. What a wonderful day, Sabbath day it was. The Lord granted in some hearts a really good Sabbath day, and he wants some token that it was of God himself. Any healing on the Sabbath day, not thinking only of the past Sabbath day, but the Sabbath day that God himself has granted some blessing. The Lord grant the blessing of it to be sweetly known. Thou art loosed from thine infirmity, all of them. And indeed, in that beautiful account, I think of the spirit of infirmity, especially belonging unto the gospel and the sweetness of it, a spirit of infirmity. Now that's what it is so much known, isn't it? The spirit of infirmity. This is my infirmity. Yet will I remember the years of the Most High. And this dear woman, she was one of those indeed that would see Jesus. There are many sweet characters in the Word. We may speak of one and another, but this particular account speaks of a woman that had waited 18 years. Truly, she could say with the great sir, we would see Jesus. Is there a physician that can meet her case? If positions of no value were all around. Another dear woman that came to touch the board of his garment and spent all on positions, but this one, friends. Oh, how blessed the thought, you know, his cures are free, aren't they? But there'll be a broken heart. Bring no money, price, nor wrought. 'Tis free grace, the hymn writer says, and can't be bought. Oh, the dear woman in the reading it here, the Lord himself saw that she could no wise lift up herself. And perhaps she may have despaired. And concluded that she would never be healed, especially of the spirit of her infirmity. Something more than just an outward infirmity. It was inside, wasn't it? It was on her heart. That the spirit of it, I would conclude, it seemed to be like a dark, dark cloud. She seemed to be dark in every way. But oh, the Lord granted that sweet healing. Woman, thou art loose, but he laid his hands on her. And immediately she was made straight and glorified God. What a murmuring. The old devil didn't like it, did he? And these men of God that murmured. No, friend. They knew not the Lord Jesus at all. That they had religion in themselves. But oh, they never come to the end of the law. This woman had come to the end of everything. In every way. And the Lord met her case. He knew that her from beginning to end, I was going to say from all eternity. Oh, and how sweet the account. No, I must leave just a few thoughts on that particular. That the Lord knows why we may have had to speak especially that dear character, the spirit of infirmity. Oh, how we must just speak of it like this. It's a deadly plague of sin and unbelief. There's a word that I must discharge very, very carefully. It's been upon my mind and I feel it. He did not many works there because of their unbelief, and it searches my heart. The spirit of infirmity, unbelief. Well, never, friends, can we boast about it. Never can we say or imply that we are one of the children of God because we are so plagued with this spirit of infirmity. God forbid. But nevertheless, it's something that afflicts all the children of God, I believe. And something wrong if it doesn't. So, much religion that hasn't got any infirmity in it at all. No knowledge of sin or hardness. Really, you know, it's a solemn day, isn't it? It doesn't need me to enlarge upon it, but you know, really, everything that is written, even testimonies, have to meet or measured by our text. Sir, we would see Jesus. And if we can't see Jesus in it, as all in all, leave it. just lay it to one side. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. But I must hasten. Sir, we would see Jesus. What a wonderful thing if there is an echo in our hearts with these Greeks of old. Sir, we would see Jesus. Now, I've often said or spoke along these lines, we may not absolutely be able to see the Lord Jesus clear as we would, and perhaps some long for those sacred views of living faith where every doubt is shut out, and we may have a right desire, and yet we may in some way dream not of faith so clear as shuts all doubtings out. There'll be a conflict. I believe we've sung of it, haven't we? But there'll be many conflicts. Like Rebecca, we will say, why am I thus? Truly, the matter is this, isn't it? We would see Jesus. Now, sometimes I believe we can speak like this. We may be able to see where he's been. Perhaps in the hearts and lives of those near and dear to us. And seen very clearly. And they took knowledge of them. That they had been with Jesus. And those characters bemoaned their lack of faith. But you can see where the Lord's been. You can see the lives affected or brought to the truth and the flame of it has been to burn up and to bring them near the Lord. Rather like a harvester. You may not be able to see the harvester, but you can see where it's been sometimes. Well, no, that's the way I want to look. Just for a little at that, at the text. We would see Jesus. Some marks dare not deny it. Much tried about it. And sometimes those evidences are brought to be able to see just something that the Lord has done, but you can't see everything. Does it not leave your soul and mine like this, sir, we would see Jesus? As to the author and finisher of our faith. But not just the finisher, is it? Some of you need the Lord to be the author, then he'll be the finisher. Lord, make me right. Set me down well. You know, it's not the great testimonies and experiences that we seek for, but it's those that really humbly say and give evidence of the words in our text, we would see Jesus. And what God begins, friends, he'll finish. What an unspeakable thing it is if the Lord has separated us from our unregeneracy, from our sin, in that respect, to put us in the ways of truth, still brought to know more and more the plague the dominion of sin, the awful reality of it. But the Lord has granted new desires. And we are found amongst those, they all say, "Sir, we would see Jesus." If one is blessed today, sweetly blessed, you know, it's not long before they're in our text, is it? "We would see Jesus." They want it renewed. They want the Lord to come again. They need the Lord to confirm thine inheritance when it is weary. You know, we read in Genesis that the archers shot at him, that is Joseph. And so it is the child of God. No matter how favoured, what answers to prayer soon. They need the shield of faith. Soon they need the Lord to be their God, to grant them deliverances. We would see Jesus. Well, friends, what a mercy if we can creep in here. I desired him saying, "Sir, we would see Jesus." You know, it's a very, very searching text. I do not see it to be turned aside. But really it is Jesus only, isn't it? That's what they wanted. They wanted to hear as well as see. They wanted the Lord to be pleased to speak unto them. Are there those like that tonight? "Lord, speak." Dear Samuel, he could only say, "Speak, thy servant heareth." He couldn't even take the Lord's name with full assurance, could he? Perhaps there's some like that. So, we would see, we would know, that we would, the article of it, "we would see," is really this, isn't it? We would know, the Apostle Paul said, "that I may know him." And how he speaks of it. The power of his resurrection. Are there those like that this evening? Oh, we would see, we would know for ourselves. But we would know it as if we could see it with a naked eye, but by faith. We would know it in the way that God's people know it. So it's looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Sir, we would see Jesus. Well, in the Word of God, there are as many characters that would desire to see Jesus. But there's one character that I must speak of that saw the Lord Jesus in another way. And it was truly in the word and truth of the gospel. I want to just touch upon it. A certain man that went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves. And stripped him of his raiment, and wounded him and departed. Sometimes the Lord's people feel just like that. Now this certain Samaritan, what a beautiful name. The name of Jesus, the certain Samaritan. Oh, just the very one that can do helpless, far off sinners good. A certain Samaritan, this is what struck my mind, as he came, as he journeyed, came where he was. Oh, that is a beautiful word, isn't it? Concerning those that would see Jesus. They're just like that man, half dead. And none can do them good. You know, some have looked the most eminent ministers, the most gifted. But it's only when the Lord Jesus speaks unto them that they can see him and hear. It's not the man, is it? It's the Lord Jesus. Don't look to man. Cease from man. His breath is in his nostrils, but never cease from this man. We would see Jesus. He went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. Now I just want to speak in this way. Three things. He came where he was. He had compassion on him. And then he proclaims these words, take care of him. Beautiful truth, isn't it? As it belongs to the Lord Jesus. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. And took care of him. Rather, maybe those many cares and burdens, some of us have got burdens, they're too heavy for us. There's one text I thought perhaps I must preach from this evening. Cast thy burden upon the Lord. He shall sustain me. He will never suffer the righteous to be moved. It's still upon my mind. Cast thy burden upon the Lord. The beautiful hymn is that 'tis enough that I am nigh. Know that we might be able to sweetly believe that the truth of it. I want to speak just a few things regarding these words here. Sir, we would see Jesus. You know, if we speak experimentally, we'll have to have our blinkers on for everything else. Never single eye, and be ready to see and know what the Lord will speak. An old man, when I was young, had a horse, and he was a young lad. I always used to see him with his cart and that. Horse had got the blinkers on to keep it looking around in that right way. I've often thought about it now, friends. We do need very, very clearly to know this. We can't have a double eye. The world must lose its affections, but how far short we come. There must be the principle of it. I spoke on the Sabbath of that desire for Jesus only. So as we think of this word, sir, we would see Jesus. Speak briefly of the preparation of the heart in man and the answer of the tongue, which is from the Lord. But oh, what a beautiful word we would see. What? We would see who? Jesus. Just a few thoughts this evening. No, friends, very, very carefully I've come to this. I would see Jesus in one glorious, sacred truth as the Son of God. The Son of God and the Son of Man. You know, that will make us right for eternity to view the Son of God by faith. Dear John, that he saw the Lord in that beautiful truth. He must increase and I must decrease. Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. The Lamb of God. But God himself. That's the truth I like, friends. The Godhead. I go to a place where I try and preach. And they say, oh, do continue to lift up the Trinity. Speak well of the Trinity. And there's such a union of heart. That triune God. In the very person, the faith of Jesus Christ. Oh, that way in which God can be known. And yet, in a more sacred way, the way that God can save. Through the merits of the Son. Taking into divine union a body like our own, without sin, the God-man. How many that despise him? No, that's why Jesus is despised, especially because he is the Son of God. And how many drag that glorious person from the excellent that of his Godhead to be just an entertainment. God forbid that we should ever, ever have anything to do with it. And if we know anything of it, our text, we shall know this sweetness that he as God is the friend of sinners. God himself, the friend of sinners. Only in that glorious person. And so it is that he has made that salvation unto the ends of the earth to redeem a people to God himself. Beautiful truth. I often think to those that may be tried in their hearts over faith and the things of it, the Lord grant us a knowledge of the wonders of creation and lift up our hearts from creation to creation's God. Think about you younger ones, very, very soberly and carefully, I encourage you to look to nature, but look to nature's God, and you'll be able to see, under God's help, you'll see, yes, there are things that direct me to my Maker. And then the Son of Righteousness to arise with healing in his wing. That very God of heaven. I prayed to the God of heaven, Nehemiah said. And the Lord managed everything, didn't he? Ah, this faith in Jesus and this word, you know, it is ever so needful to speak of a humble heart. God grant it. Sir, we would see Jesus as the Son of the Most High God. Indeed, in these chapters, there is so much of the truth of it. In the very chapter in which our text is taken, Jesus, when he had found a young ass set thereon, as it is written, "Fear not, daughter of Zion." It's the Son of God, isn't it? In the beautiful aspect of the King. Saying, "Fear not, daughter of Zion." Oh, these daughters of Zion. Really, they're all the family of God. But how sweet the aspect when the Lord speaks unto his unto those that truly seek him. "My heart is indicted in a good matter, and speak of the things which I have made, touching the King." In that beautiful psalm, we have the daughters of Zion. I must quickly come. "Hearken, O daughter, and consider, and incline thine ear. Forget also thine own people and thy father's house. In this respect, so shall the King greatly desire thy beauty. For he is thy Lord, and worship thou him." You know, real religion, I do need it. It's this, isn't it? Where there's a lifting up of the Lord Jesus in the poor hearts of God's people. Indeed, it must be so in a ministry. I wish I were more able. And I know many feel the same. But the truth of it is this, and it's, we would say, Jesus, some vital application of the name of Jesus to the heart, to the soul of his people. To grant them the desire of their heart. Say unto my soul, "I am thy salvation." We would see Jesus. You know, when he's lifted up, the Lord lifts the hearts of his people up too, under the hand of God, and there's a sweet union, because he is all in all. Maybe many things that many many things that we must leave, but it's when he is exalted. It's a sweet flowing together. I hope so. Sir, we would see Jesus only. That glorious man. The God-man and the man that we sing of. That shed his vital blood. Shed that rich atoning blood. To cancel sin, to redeem his people from the curse of the law, and to set them in heavenly places, in Christ Jesus, in him, in that glorious truth that he is all in all. We would see Jesus. I know the truth of it, it's this same Jesus, isn't it? Not another one. Not another gospel. You know, those that know the truth, it's the sound of it. That they want the sweetness of Jesus' name. That it's like honey poured forth, isn't it? But oh, to know a little of it to the soul, to sweeten their hearts with the truth of it, out of the strong came forth sweetness. The Lord grant thee truth of it. So we would see Jesus. We would see Jesus every day. Oh, friends, how solemnly we have to own our sin and unbelief. But I must leave it upon this truth. You know, those that would see Jesus below shall see him above. And there will be ever an expanding and ever increasing knowledge of the Son of God. That name will be precious in heaven to an ever ending eternity. And God himself will be exalted, and Christ will be the object of praise. Now may the Lord grant to us the truth. We're often seem to be overcome with sin and unbelief, but we would see Jesus. Amen.
Willing, Dr. Sadler is expected to preach next Lord's Day, and there will be special services on Monday when Mr. Pocock will preach. Hymn 788. Come ye humble sinner train, souls for whom the Lamb was slain, cheerful let us raise our voice, we have reason to rejoice, let us sing with saints in heaven, life restored and sin forgiven. Glory and eternal Lord be to our incarnate God. 788.
Thank you.
Lord, to forgive all amiss in our speaking and hearing. Remember each one we remember before thee. Lord, to grant evidences of divine life and preparation for eternity, especially in our dear older friends and to us each. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus, the love of God the Father, and the communion of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with us all. Amen.